And we are live, folks. Welcome to the Tabletop Merchant Podcast. I am one of your hosts, David. I'm joined, as always, by my favorite board gamer, my wife, Alyssa.
Hello.
That's your cue to say hi. How are you?
Fabulous. I just had a cookie.
Yes. What kind of cookie?
Oatmeal chocolate chip. Not oatmeal raisin.
So a little good, a little bad there mixed in for you, right?
Yes.
So this week, before we get to all of the cool stuff at the store, by the way, let's just real quick, in case this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, we are the owners and operators of Tabletop Merchant, an online board and card retail store.
What's the website, David?
www.tabletopmerchant.com. Trying to stump me. What's the email, Alyssa? Let's see if you can get it right. Go.
tabletopmerchant@gmail.com.
Yeah, as you might listen, we sometimes get that wrong. But before we get into that, what we want to do is announce the winner of our contest from our last episode. If you are a faithful listener, then you will know that last week we spent some time discussing the board game superstars, Inca and Marcus Brand.
I forgot for a moment.
You already forgot who we talked about. Alyssa. So we had a contest where if you sent us an email with contest that was in the subject line, told us your favorite brand game or one that you were interested in, then you would go into a pool for a chance to win a $25 gift card.
And that pool was a trick-or-treat bag.
Yeah, so as you might also know, our house is completely decked out in Halloween. So you will know, faithful listener, that it was a trick-or-treat bucket that we put all the names in. So the trick here is that we told our son about the contest, our son Logan.
We didn't tell him. He listened to the podcast.
That's true. He was listening to the podcast. And he got so excited and he said, I want to pick the winner. And you can't say no to a four-year-old. Of course not, right?
Well, so,
I mean, yeah, sometimes you have to. So we decided we're going to have Logan pick the winner.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Now, the trick here, additional trick, is that we typically record this podcast once he hits the hay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's easier for us and it's a four-year-old again. So what we ended up doing is recording it before he went to bed. And we will, I guess, splice in the audio. Pepper in the audio here to tell you.
Is that the right verbiage?
I think so. We've only been doing this for three episodes. Mm-hmm. This is our fourth. So pepper, we'll stick with that. So we're going to pepper in the audio here to have Logan come in, jump in, and tell us who the winner is. And we have a special guest here to tell us who the winners are. We have Logan. You want to say hi? Say hi into the microphone.
Hi.
You might know Logan from some of his jokes at the end of our podcast. But we have him here today to pick a winner of the $25 gift card to Tabletop Merchant. Again, all you had to do was send us an email telling us what your favorite Marcus and Inca brand game was. And we got some excellent entries, which we'll go over. But first, before I do that, I want to have Logan pick out of our bucket here. I don't know if you can hear it, but there's a bucket. And I'm going to have Logan, can you pick one out? Now, don't look. Don't look.
All right. Drum roll.
Drum roll. And then tell us the number that you see on there. What's the number?
79.
Let's see. And who's the winner? Ryan L. Ryan L is the winner, number 79. Woo-hoo! What should he buy? Logan, what should Ryan buy with his $25 gift card to Tabletop Merchant? Can you tell me in the microphone?
Board games.
How many?
The same number.
79 board games? Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, and thank you so much, Logan. Can we look forward to some jokes at the end of the podcast from you?
Is that a yes?
Is that a yes?
I can't hear your marbles.
Yes!
Thank you.
Congratulations, Ryan. Woo!
Bad news is according to Logan, you got to buy 79 board games.
Oof.
So, we like doing this contest thing, so stick around, and we may have another contest this week.
May.
We will.
Okay.
Okay, don't baby bird him. All right. No tricks. So, now that we got that contest out of the way, and again, thank you for all those amazing entries. By the way, I do want to talk about that for a second. We got some awesome entries.
There were some fun emails.
So, one cool thing. So, obviously, Inca and Marcus Brand, they are the designers of the various exit games. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think of this, but someone mentioned in their email that they set up two separate teams.
That's really cool.
And they both do the same exit game and see who can finish it faster, because the game provides like points if mm-hmm. If you finish the game in a certain amount of time, but actually having a real life person on the other side. And I also like the idea of
competition.
Well, yes, of course. But I also like the idea of them having to solve a puzzle in the same room with you, with, and you can kind of listen for what they're doing. Like, oh, well, they just said something about, like, listen.
Put your noise cancellation headphones on, sir.
I'm always trying to find an upper edge. No, I think that's a cool idea.
We need it. I've never thought about that. And then someone else was like, I haven't brought myself to be able to
rip up
cards or destroy cards. And you?
I'm the same way.
It took you a while.
Yeah, I think
I did the cutting.
The first one we played that was like a legacy style game was Pandemic Legacy Season 1, I think. I don't think we played Risk Legacy before. I don't remember.
Risk came after.
That we played. It came before.
Well,
but I think,
know that, but.
Yeah, sorry. So I do remember the first time ripping up a card. I was like, is this the right card that I'm supposed to rip up?
And I reached over. Give me that card. Yeah, listen, good heavens.
So. Just dive in. It's worth it. The games are excellent. The exit games are a lot of fun. So again, thank you to everybody who entered into the contest, and congratulations to Ryan.
Yes,
and we will
you.
Send out an email to you with the $25 gift card so you can buy your 79 board games.
Very excited for you, Ryan.
So now that we got through that, let's talk about what, Alyssa, what have you been playing? What have you been doing? What's going on?
Okay. So we played Viscounts of the West Kingdom.
Yes. It is from Garfield Games.
Mm-hmm.
It is designed by Shem Phillips and S.J. McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the series of the trilogy of West Kingdom.
Chapter 3.
Yes, the third of the trilogy. We've got Architects of the West Kingdom, Paladins mm-hmm. of the West Kingdom, and now Viscounts of the West Kingdom.
So we played it two-player.
Yes.
Myself and you.
Yes, I was there.
Yes, you were. And then we also played it four player.
Yes, we played it with a couple of buddies that came over and played, and we played four players.
My friends.
Your friends. Yes. Not my friends.
No, our friends.
So tell me, okay, because I want you to get better at this. Explain to me what Viscounts of the West Kingdom is, or what kind of game is it?
To me,
yes,
I feel like
you.
There's a little bit of everything going on.
Okay.
And you have to choose. So I would say it's a set collection and an area majority. You got in-game bonuses. It's on a rondelle board.
Okay.
Why are you smiling?
I love that you know all these terms. It makes my heart just so
ba-boom,
warm.
Ba-boom.
Yes, it's awesome.
You remember why you married me?
Yes, now I remember.
Good.
It's because she knows rondelles. Find a woman who knows rondelles, everybody.
The board is very, I don't want to sound cliche, but very eye-catching. Like, it's not your typical four-sided. It's a 10-sided, correct?
Yes, we didn't look up what that shape is, but it's made up of five different segments, pie segments.
It's really cool. It almost reminds me of, there's a lot on that board going on. It reminds me of Rajas.
Rajas of the Ganges.
Everything,
yeah.
You know, they've used the whole board.
Right.
And you have every space and a lot going on, but it also doesn't feel overwhelming once you start.
Yeah. So
go through it.
The game's really unique in that it's a deck building game, but that's not really... When I say that, you have like an idea of Dominion or Marvel Legendary, and that's not really, you are constructing a deck of townsfolk that lets you do actions in the game, but you really only shuffle
a small deck.
Right. You really only shuffle your deck a couple times. So it's really is a hybrid game in a lot of ways. There, like you said, there's this rondelle and you have this character, your Viscount, who's moving around the board, and wherever you land, you get to do a particular action, whether
build
buildings. Put workers into this castle that give you victory points at the end of the game.
Or what is the one in the...
Manuscripts.
Manuscripts, yes.
So that's your set collection that you were talking about. So you're trying to get these manuscripts that give you set collection, different colors or runs of different colors or sets of the same color.
And that's what that's my comfort.
Yeah, you love collecting sets.
I do.
Well, humans...
Because I feel like there's an accomplishment, like a beginning to an end.
Yes.
And I can complete it.
Set complete. And humans like to put things in organizational things.
Oh, I love baskets.
Alyssa loves organizing baskets and cabinets. And so I can see why set collection is your jam.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you can also buy cards. Like I said, build that deck of cards. But you are limited by the action you get to choose, not just by the cards that you've played or the cards that are in your tableau. But also where you are on that rondelle. So maybe if you're on the outside of the rondelle, can either build a building or you can do a trade action, kind of getting resources to build buildings.
I mean, it's also a resource game.
Right. So it's crazy. It's got a lot of stuff folded into it. It's like a lot of the Garfield games that I think of Raiders of the West Kingdom or Architects of the West Kingdom. They're not difficult to like learn the concepts of the game. The learning curve's not like super steep, but there's a lot of good decisions to make as you're playing the game.
It has a classic, I can't do it all.
Right.
I want to do it all.
I want to do it.
Do I do a little bit of everything or do I focus on one area? I'm still trying to figure that out for this game.
Yeah, we got
to
keep playing. That's why I really did enjoy it. I think I love deck building, but it's got this, you only play one card into your tableau every turn and these cards float. So like what I mean by that is there's three cards in front of you at during your turn at all times.
And your player board.
On your player board. And at the beginning of your turn, one's going to fall off and then you're going to add one and you play that that three card tableau. Those are your three cards that you get to play. So you already know before you put your new card down what two cards are existing in your tableau. It almost reminds me of Texas Hold'em. So in Texas Hold'em, you have two cards in your hand and then we flip over five cards through the course of the game and you pick the best combination of those three of those five cards that are available to everybody plus your two. So it feels kind of like that. You know two cards that are going to be there and you add one to it and you're playing your best combo. It's just, what? Go ahead.
I was just saying about the characters and they all either have like an ability when they fall off the board.
Right.
An immediate ability when they come on the board or possibly a continuous one.
Yeah, like an ongoing.
Ongoing. Thank you.
I obviously we've played a lot of board games, but I still to this day, I know, still to this day when I see like these cards have a lot of information on them. They've got how much they cost, what they do, how they, like you said, bonuses that come up, bonuses when you acquire them.
And maybe our brains have just been trained though, because I see that card. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Sure.
Let's go.
But to think how you make that and make it balanced and make it work, because so many things are interlocking. It's still impressive. It blows me away that people can do that. I just still blown away. But I really did enjoy playing Viscounts of the West Kingdom. I think we've played Architects a number of times, and I don't know if Viscounts. I don't know. Viscounts is definitely heavier. It's more to it.
Definitely.
But I might like it more because I think I really do like deck.
But I also don't think there's any meanness in it. Well, I guess there is because you can knock people off the castle.
Where you place workers on the.
But they
castle.
Get something even if they get knocked off.
But I think that's a great design choice for the same thing in Architects. So in Architects, you place your worker into a worker placement spot, and you can keep going there with more workers and your action gets cumulatively better and better. And then eventually, if you go too far, somebody else will take all your workers and put them in jail. But that's not necessarily a bad thing because once you go and get your workers out of jail, you get this big bonus.
Yeah.
I think that's such a cool design for Euro games. So there's a lot of people give trash to Euro games that they don't have really any interaction, right? There's no like direct conflict between the players. There's blocking or maybe like disruption of your plan. But this one is like you're literally taking and capturing people's workers and putting them in jail, which is not a normal Euro thing. You know, usually it's like, leave my city alone, leave my people alone.
I liked too how when we're going around the board, even if someone's on a space you wanted to go, you could still go there.
But they get a benefit.
I mean, they rearrange their tableau
characters. See, she's using the words, ladies and gentlemen. I love it. Rondel, tableau.
On their player board.
Yes.
So, great game. We played 2-player, 4-player. What is your preference?
Well, the 4-player game, it doesn't really change the game too much. There's two sides of the boards on those five, those pieces that we were talking about that make up the board. So there's like a 3-to-4-player side and then a 1-to-2 side. So I don't know if it changes. It didn't feel like it changed like the game as far as the gameplay, but it did take just longer with 4 players. But the people that we played with, it was the first time they had ever played, so that may have been why they took. And honestly,
blame
one of them
of course
yeah, of course I'm gonna blame them. One of them is very known for analysis paralysis. He takes quite a bit, but he ended up winning the game, so we can't be, I mean, it clearly worked, so think your turns out. But I think this sweet spot may be 3, just because I think 2, I'm always more the merrier, right? But I think 3 may be the sweet spot, but I enjoyed both. I didn't feel like I was missing out on something between the 2-player or the 4-player game. What about you?
Oh, golly. I liked the banter in the 4-player.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't know. I know it's a bit long, but I think I'm going to have to go with 4-player.
Go with 4-player.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else? Did you play anything else other than Viscounts?
We played the Push Your Luck Auction Game 10.
See, you're getting better. You're using all the terms. I love it.
I know you're going to ask me, so let's just...
just say it at the front end. So tell me about 10. Who is it? It's by AEG, and this is the design team behind... it's Flat Out Games. So you've got the people that worked on Calico, Dollars to Donuts. They recently, we talked about Public Market that they worked on together, but this is...
I'm glad you knew that because I didn't know that. Oh, I do, but not memorized.
Oh, yeah. And it's a fairly simple card game.
Why? You want to build the longest number sequence in each color.
Yeah, you got four colors.
And there's four colors. And then, yeah, you just draw your drawing.
Set collection, your jam. You've got four different colors of cards and you're trying to get in a, like a rummy style, you're trying to get things in a run. So you're trying to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, so you're drawing cards.
Yes.
And not wanting to bust over 10.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you draw one card at a time and you can either say, you know, basically blackjack, hit me, keep going, or you can stay. And if you stay, you get to keep the cards and put them into your tableau.
And the other person gets the currency cards.
Right. We didn't mention that. There's also these other types of cards that can come out called currency cards. And the reason why you want currency is there are wild cards. And wild cards can either be one color of any number or any number or one number of any color. That's so hard to say for some reason. And when those come out, the players immediately do an auction on
that card.
And so these currency cards give you chips that you can then bid on those wild cards, which of course in a rummy game, I always have the, you know, the 1, 2, 3, and then I don't have 4, 5, and then I've got 6, 7, 8, 9. And at the end of the game, you score points for the longest
consecutive run. Yeah,
the longest consecutive run of any color.
And you need currency because at the end of your turn, you can buy from the market, buy one card from the market. So if there's a 7 red out there, you have to pay 7 for it.
Right.
So it gets pretty pricey if you need an 8 or a 9.
Yeah. I'm always blown away how much game they can get out of these micro games, but they're just, it's a deck of cards and some little tokens.
Mm-hmm. And another sign, I mean, this is a great game. I know obviously he can't play all of it by himself, but Logan loved playing it too.
Yeah.
Cause it's math. Like we sat there and he would just bring the cards out and he would add them up if a currency number comes out, you subtract it from a number.
So yeah,
I don't think we said that. So he was doing that. So you just
addition and subtraction.
It was perfect.
Yeah. So, oh, we'll get to that too. We at the end of this, when we talk about what we've been playing, Logan, like we said, listened to the podcast and he heard the top five games that we like to play with him and also were fun with us. And he's like, you guys missed some.
I quote, Mommy, you missed some of my games. I'll make you a list.
So we'll go over that list pretty quick here. So your parents ended up taking the game. They're going on vacation, so we let them take it and they're going to bring it. And you explained the rules to your dad, right? How did that go?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
That's true. When they come back,
he's an engineer, so
you would hope he could.
I could tell he was taking it all in.
Yeah. When we explain rules to him, he's like, okay, all right. I feel like I'm like downloading it. He's just like, I got it. All right. Now I'm going to win. Cause most of the time when we play games with him, he wins.
He schooled us on Splendor one time. His first time he walked in.
Yeah. It's not
fair. Dad.
I'm like, we've played this a bunch. How are you so good? I just explained it to you. So anything else in any other games or?
That's it for me, yes. Right? Well, am I forgetting something?
Yes, this morning we broke out, since we had some friends over, one of them was borrowing my giant book, book of Dominion cards.
Giant three-ring zipper binder.
Yes, so we broke that out. We hadn't played Dominion in a while, and we played with Logan a little bit, just kind of a simple game, and he picked it up. I was impressed how that was, but
was
Dominion's such a good game, classic granddaddy. Deck builder. It's so simple, so much fun. So we did that. Anything else that you had going on? Anything not game related or
baked cookies, which that's what I was eating before we started. And Logan and I found a new way to scare David.
Yes. Speaking of Halloween nonsense that goes on at this house.
We won't go into, I know we don't talk too much about Halloween, but we found a spider that activates by noise. So we have it hanging and when he walks by it, drop down on him with red beady eyes. It was the best.
No, it still gets me. It's not fair. I shouldn't be scared of it at this point. And now, in the middle of the night, like something made noise and I was like, is it that spider? But of course it was just something else. Probably an intruder. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
So.
It's been a good week. What about you?
Thank you.
I was
wondering when you were going to throw it to me. Couple things that are not game related. So I watched Free Guy. Have you heard about this? A new Ryan Reynolds movie that came out a little while ago. It's like a video game style movie.
Yes. And I want to watch that too.
It was very good.
I mean, I'm sure it's a great movie.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
I do like
You do like Ryan Reynolds. The lead actor. Of course. He's very charismatic. No, it's excellent.
Very talented.
If you are definitely, if you're a video game player, there's so many little nods in because it's about
a non-playable
character that he's in a video game, and it's like GTA is the city he lives in called Free City, and like everyone's doing these terrible like robbing banks, and he's the banker at the bank. It's quite good.
That's a good setup for
what
a game we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay, good. The other thing that I just did before we got on this podcast, did you know that today was DC Fan Dome? Do you know what that is? Do you even know what that is? It's where they talk about all the new DC movie stuff and DC comic book stuff that's coming out.
Yes.
Oh, good job. No, they did like a Flash teaser. There's the new Batman with Robert Pattinson, and they
like
did a trailer.
Fast Flash?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean like Flash, like a really quick trailer.
That would be funny that they called it that. No, they called it a teaser, but it looks so good. And the voice of Michael Keaton was in the trailer, like the original Batman from Tim Burton.
Mind-blowing.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm so excited. Oh, getting hyped.
I'm excited for you.
I know you are. All right. Well, Logan, we talked about Logan's list. What were the games that he said we missed real quick?
Okay, y'all. Here we go.
This is very important.
So this was numbered. We were very specific, and I cannot get this wrong because he will be listening. Okay, so number one. Operation Nightmare Before Christmas.
Again, Halloween stuff. My kid loves Nightmare Before
Christmas. So it's Oogie Boogie, and you're taking...
Of course, taking the bits out of...
Creepy Crawlies out of his body.
What else we got?
Number two, classic Candyland. And I quote, he says, well, it's because you go to the colors that's on your card, and it has candy. His favorite's the gingerbread house.
At the end, because that means he won.
Yes. Number three is Color It, roll a die, and then with a color and a number on it.
It's a roll and write for kids. It's genius.
Yeah, and then you color in, and you... whoever finishes their picture first wins.
Yes. If you have kids and you like rolling rights, I mean, it's really geared for little kid, littlies.
Yeah.
But it's really cute.
It's cute.
You roll two dice. One's a number and one's a color. And then you color in that spot. And the first person to finish their picture of colors
wins. Find coloring very soothing. I never have.
No?
No.
You're not the adult coloring books?
I am not.
No. My mom loves them. She's all about them.
Well, maybe she can play with him.
There you go.
Okay.
Keep going.
Number four was Sagrada.
Yeah, that was a curveball.
Quote, bunch of dice and you have to match numbers and colors on the square.
That is true. I think it's the colored dice that gets them. It's
there's
a beautiful game.
There's a lot of game. Dice and gems.
Yes.
A little. Okay, yeah. So four. So that was a really cool one of him to pull out.
Yes.
Number five was Drop It.
From Cosmos, Thames and Cosmos. It's a, I almost think of like Plinko.
I think of Plinko every time.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Such a fun game. But you have this giant acrylic glass see-through piece that stands up, and you drop shapes like wooden triangles, circles, and you're trying to drop them in a certain way.
All different colors.
But the problem is there's certain points that are awarded if you don't land in certain spots. But it's Plinko, so there's some measure of skill, but there's still, it's a lot of luck, like Plinko. But it's a fun game. Dropping stuff into a thing
you
like Plinko.
You say luck, though, because have you ever won?
That's what I always say. If I don't win, it's clearly just too lucky.
I'm not sure. And then number six, we'll kind of go round this out, is Power Rangers.
Heroes of the Grid.
My favorite part is to move around the round board.
Yes.
It's a rondel, Logan. And roll the dice.
You're like, Logan, it's a rondel.
He loves those miniatures, dude.
Yeah, the miniatures in that game they're not just good, they're like beefy. Like they actually have like plastic in them.
They're
like
beasts, man.
So.
And then we got seven, the Clever games. He does roll those dice with me.
Yes. I think it's just you play those Clever series games so much that he
knows.
Like,
I mean, he's not really playing that one. He's rolling them and helping me and picking. And last one, and he does play this on his own when he needs quiet time. He says, I need quiet time, mommy, is Gentle Rain.
We've talked about Gentle Rain. So, solo, tile, puzzly.
Pretty good list for a four-year-old.
Absolutely.
I was proud of him.
We are raising him right, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Good job, Logan.
Good job. Now we didn't miss any on the last podcast, but let's get to what is new at our store, what is back in stock, what you can pick up right now, and what is on the way. So, new stuff to the store this week included an expansion to Unmatched Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. That was the segue, guys.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds. I didn't even pick up on that. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you can pick that up. Coco Pelli. We talked about this sort of a little bit. It's the new Steffenfeld game. You had some notes on anything you want to add?
don't have notes on, but like I love the box art on that. It's so eye catching. Yes, I think I've said that one time already, and it's the game.
And it's Steffenfeld, so it's going to be, you know, I always go with his designs. The floor on his designs is so high. You're really, and it's a card game, so. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it comes in a big box like a board game, and I think it has more than just cards, but I think the main mechanisms of the game are a deck of cards that you're doing different actions with.
Yeah, there's ceremonies, and everyone has, and you actually are able to play on the player's boards to your right and left.
Yeah, so it's got that, like,
with conditions, of course.
Right.
And then,
that's a cool way to interact with the people to your left and right. I always think of Seven Wonders as that classic where you're trading with the person to your left and right. Yep.
Yes, and every card has an ability. It looks really cool. I am a Feldhead.
So we got to get that to the table.
Know, so that is definitely going to be played.
Yeah, and there's an expansion that came out with it too. So if you just want to pick that up with it to see all the goodness, and it's called Expansion 1.
Oh,
so
they thought they outside know. The box, man.
They know.
And then they know there's more coming.
I assume. Okay. The next one that we'll talk about is another new game called Rift Force. This is from Capstone Games, correct? Yeah, I believe so. Yes. And you did some. As we do this, she's got good notes. So I wanna hear.
I don't
about
think
it.
They're great notes. They're just, but you know.
Tell me about it a little bit. I know it's a two player card game where you're battling.
Two player dual card game.
Okay.
With drafting.
Oh,
sir.
I love drafting. So much fun.
So it's a designer Carlo Bortolini.
Hmm.
Is that correct?
I don't know, but I imagine I would butcher the last name probably even worse than you.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about it.
I mean, you have your four factions, you're drafting, it's a head-to-head, and you have your special abilities for your cards that you're going to put down, and all the different themes of the elements. It's very thematic.
Oh, you've got watching like it, fire, wind, water.
Fire, lightning, light, shadow, and it makes, you know, sense if you're thinking about it thematically, like how they play out.
Cool.
So it looks pretty cool, and we like two-player games.
Yeah,
if
you like two-player, and again, Capstone has made it. Some of our favorite games always come out of Capstone. Mm-hmm. The next one is a much larger box. This is Clash of Cultures Monumental Edition. We talked a little bit about it showing up, but it's a remake of an older game, and it includes the extremely rare expansion. There was an expansion that came out for it originally and was super hard to find, but this includes all of that. It's been getting rave reviews. It's a, you know, 4X-style civilization game. So if you're into that at all and you haven't had a chance to check it out, because I think it originally came out in like 2007, which in board game years is like a millennia.
Oof.
So you can pick that up. That's from WizKids. So that's what's new to the store. We didn't have a lot of new stuff that showed up this week. We have a lot coming, should be coming next week. But we did get quite a few games that are going to be back in stock. The first one that we were going to talk about is the Century Spice Games. This includes Century Eastern Wonders, Century A New World, and the very first one, Century Spice Road. These are now being published or are distributed by Asmodee, so we were able to get our hands on that. We have Clask 4. So Clask is a excellent game. It's almost like I think of
this,
like
one looks fun.
Air hockey without the need to plug something in. It's magnets. Where you're trying to get your piece into the other player's
goal.
It's a
game activity.
Sure. It's not really
it's
like
whatever gets everyone to the table.
And this one's a four-player one. Mm-hmm. So so you can even bring more people to the table.
Hence Clask 4.
Versus just Clask. Mm. The next one is the expansion for Wingspan. Oceana is back.
Nice.
Which has been gone for a little while. We joke when we're packing up games and sending them out to you folks that everything is cats and birds, birds and cats, cats and birds, Calico, Wingspan, all day, every day, cats and birds and birds and cats. But it's true. These games are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oceana adds a wild resource, nectar, and it puts more cards into it. So more in that game is always great. It's a great engine building game and it's beautiful and it's fairly, I would say, pretty easy to play. I don't think it's like a difficult game to learn or play.
The best version of birds, because I'm terrified of birds. So
Lissa does not like birds. We go to the zoo and they have like the bird sanctuary and she's like, go ahead, take
Absolutely
Logan.
Absolutely not.
I will stay out here. Tell me how it goes. So that's the Oceana expansion. So you can pick that up now. We got some copies of Dice Miner back in stock from Atlas Games. Very popular.
I want to try that one.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You love the dice games. Mm-hmm. We got some copies of another engine builder, Furnace, from Arcane Wonders, another very popular game. Very striking cover. It's got that like...
I was about to say that.
It's got like a cool white cover with just really simple art. Well, not simple. It's just anytime I think you have like a white...
It's just a profile.
Cover, yeah. It's really cool. I have one right here. You can actually see it, but I'm not going to get it out of the box. But it's engine building. And it's like... I think it plays relatively quickly. I think it's like 45 minutes to an hour. So that sounds... Most engine builders that we play are a little bit longer. I think of like Terraforming Mars or like Wingspan. Not that much longer, but so you can pick those up. We got more Uwe back, Uwe Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. We got Hallertau. I'm probably saying.
Is that
saying.
How you say?
Okay. Hallertau. We've got to play this. All I've heard is amazing stuff about Hallertau. We're big fans of Caverna, of Glass Road. I just like all of his games. I can't. The Feast for Odin. Like, we love all of his games.
Baron, so I'm probably going to make a fool of myself. What is hops? Because they say growing hops. Like, okay. It's not like I think of bunnies. It's not that. I know it's not. Because
it's not.
Obviously, I've looked at.
No, so when you make beer, you use hops to make beer. I'm not going to act like I know anything about beer. I was about to try to explain it, and I was like, David, you're going to step into. There's some brewers that are probably listening to the podcast that are going to get mad. But you use hops to brew beer. There you go. It is not bunnies.
Every day you learn something.
Well, he does have animals in his games usually, so it wouldn't be too far off to have bunnies in his game, in his games. So we got more copies of that. We have the very, very popular Blitzkrieg.
Paolo Mori.
There you go. He got it. Very popular. So you could pick that. We got that back. Pandemic Hot Zone Europe. Mm-hmm. So there was a Pandemic Hot Zone North America, and then they had Europe, and you can actually combine the two.
There's pandemic everywhere.
I know.
I'm not literally, but like
no, literally. Unfortunately, because yeah.
I mean, like pandemic, like the game series. There's just where do you want to go?
Yeah, you can go Cthulhu. You can go Fall of Rome, and then these are designed to be played more quickly than traditional pandemic. If you only have 30 minutes to get through it, funny story is that the pandemic games actually sold. They sold a lot more during the actual real life, I don't know how to feel about that. Well, I think of it as hopeful. Maybe people were playing like, we can get through this. If I can beat this game, then we can. But
thematic.
Yes. We did get more copies of, we talked a little bit about Viscounts of the West Kingdom earlier from Garfield Games, another game that they're one of their most recent ones, Hadrian's Wall. It's a big flip and right.
Oh, flip and right. Yeah, sorry.
Flip and right. Takes a... You know, longer than most, what you would consider like a flip and write, like Welcome To, but a lot more going on. They had it seemed like a small print run when it first came out, because we got a few copies and then we're now able to get some more. Mm-hmm. So those have been kind of flying off the shelves, so to speak. So you can pick that up. And then we got more copies of Tidal Blades, Heroes of the Reef, which is a little bit of a hint to who our board game superstar is going to be later. But Tidal Blades is a worker placement game, which also uses dice. I think of the artwork. Ooh, spoiler. No.
Baby birdie.
I know. It's the artwork alone in this game is insane. So good. But you are playing as characters who are trying to beat back the monsters that come through the fold.
Protect the realm.
Like every game, right? You got to protect the realm. But the it's like it's set in a beach setting. It's like instead of like I think of every dungeon is like this dark dungeon, but this one's set in this like gorgeous colorful. I want to go to happy. This place.
Yeah,
I mean minus the monsters that keep coming out, so
monsters
it's
everywhere.
Exactly. So we got more copies of that, so that's what's back in stock at the store. Arriving soon. So let's talk about what's coming either early next week, or it should be here hopefully, and then I always say 7 to 10 business days. Again, bear with us because there's some transit stuff with shipping.
So proper.
I know, I have to like I'm gonna get in trouble if it doesn't show up in time. Someone's gonna email us. So let's talk about it. The first one, I don't want to spend a lot of time because it's Llama Land. This is the new Phil Walker Harding. It'll be here next week, and I don't want to spend too much time because we're gonna play this. I know we're gonna love this game. Yes, we. Okay. I know you're gonna love this game, so I'm just gonna save it because it'll end up being stuff we've played.
You don't know me.
I do. It's got Clement Franz artwork. It's Phil Walker Harding. It's going to be your jam. Okay. It's got polyominoes. The next one that's showing up is a game called Picture Show.
Yes.
Did you see this? It's like a light box, and you have like little, you're doing shadow puppets behind this light box, and people have to guess. Like alone, I was like, oh, that sounds like so much fun.
That does sound fun.
We're always doing, you know, shadow puppets with Logan, so that should be a good one to look out for. We've got some new miniatures for the Fallout Wasteland Warfare and for Elder Scrolls Call to Adventure. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to add more factions or more miniatures to those miniature war games, we got those coming. We're getting a restock of Brew from Pandasaurus. We are getting also some restocks of a couple other games. Mind Management.
That one looks cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of cat and mouse one versus all.
Yes.
Where you're trying to run away from somebody and the other person's trying to track you down. I think that's it.
A little bit of Spectre Ops going on.
Yep. Captains of the Gulf from Stronghold Games. We're getting more of those. Another new game that's coming. We talked a little bit about it, is Night of the Ninja. This is from Brotherwise Games. It's a social deduction game where they claim it's excellent from four players all the way up to 11, which is, in my opinion, hard to do. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's a big range. Like, I think of, like, if you play, you know, Werewolf, like, with five people, it's okay. You really want, like, up in that 11 range.
Yes.
You sit around a campfire. That's what I want. You know what I mean? I want people eating s'mores, playing Werewolf. That's, like, my...
Ew, s'mores.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second. Really?
Yeah, I'm not a s'mores fan.
You're crazy.
It's just, maybe it's messy. I don't know. There's too much going on.
I remember...
I'm not a big marshmallow fan.
What was it? One time it was cold outside and I really wanted a s'more. So like I lit the pilot on our range and you were in the other room. You're like, what are you doing in there? Like, are you cooking? Because it was late at night. And I was like, I'm roasting a marshmallow. You're like, you're such a kid. So I love s'mores anytime. Next one is, oh, this is interesting. So Axis and Allies, a couple of the different Axis and Allies, like for instance, 1942, some of the Hasbro games, the classic Hasbro games are coming back in print. So we'll be carrying that number of the Axis and Allies games and Diplomacy, which I would like to play with you on that. But like this is one of those games where you can like literally leave the table and go talk to somebody to like negotiate a treaty.
That is not me.
I know. It seems like, but it's, I just,
I'm like, what do you want? Like just...
She would not be a good ambassador for her country. A couple more restocks that we have is Coffee Roaster. I think you need to play this. First of all, it's coffee.
I think I do too.
It's a coffee game. So you already got, you had you at coffee, but it's a solo only game. It's by Sashi and Sashi. And the first part of the game, you're building your bag of ingredients. And then it's kind of, you're roasting the second part of the game, you're pulling from the bag to try to see if you can like meet the requirements of a particular blend. So just really, really cool. Again, it's coffee, so can't go wrong.
I love the smell.
If they could pump the smell into the game, smell-o-vision, that'd be great. Mm. Next one, a brand new one coming next week is The Crew Mission Deep Sea.
Trick-taking. Co-op.
We love trick-taking games.
We do.
We are. That's, I think, maybe our favorite style of card game is the trick-taking
game. You think so? Well, Fox in the Forest.
Teachu.
Yeah, Teachu.
What's the other one? Haggis, that we play a lot of. So a lot of really good trick-taking games. And this one is cooperative with where you can't chat with the players as to what you have. Because you're trying to play tricks in a certain order. Or you play it where this player gets the card at the end, is awarded the trick at the end. So there's a lot of cooperation without talking, which is, I always think, like, I think of like Hanabi, for instance, where you're trying to tell people you tell them something, but you give them imperfect information. And the first game won a bunch of awards, and this is the kind of the sequel, so to speak. And the first game had a ton of like missions that you play consecutively, because you play one game and it's like, oh, they get crazy hard too, by the way. Like
you can pick the difficulty.
Right.
So that helps.
And this one's already been getting reviews online. And I know, for instance, the Dice Tower with Tom Bassel.
Tom Bassel, he is obsessed with this game.
I think it was his favorite game of... I don't know if it was last year or the year before when it came out to him. But yeah, it got very high marks. And this one looks to be just as good,
if not better. Yeah, it looks awesome. It looks like a lot of fun.
Next one is, we've talked, unfortunately, about this a couple times, but we are getting copies of this. There's been some measure of a delay. It's Cascadia from Pandas, AEG. Yeah, we talked about Flat Out Games with 10, but this isn't the next game from them. I think you're going to like that one. Again, I said it multiple times. It's tile placement with adjacency bonuses, excellent artwork. Another abstract strategy that's coming back in stock, too, is Reef. This is the second edition. I believe we have the first edition, but that's the one with those little plastic pieces where it looks like the seaweed and the the yellow, red. Logan likes to stack them up incredibly high.
Oh, yes, yes.
These pieces in this game are like super chunky, very satisfying, clicky, because you're building, you're placing things on a board, but you actually, there's like a 3D component to it where you're stacking pieces on top of each other. Very cool. Another game that's coming back that we'll have available is Men at Work. This is in the line of Flick 'em Up and I forget the other one that they did. I think it's Tokyo Highway. I don't know if it's Tokyo Highway, but it's a dexterity style game. Oh no, it's called Junk Art. Or yeah, Junk Art. That was the other one that they did. Pretzel Games, I think, was the original developers of this game. And then coming very, very soon, we've got Ankh. This is the new one from Eric Lang, the end of the trilogy of Blood Rage and Rising Sun. Oof. I'm so excited.
Those games are beasts, man.
One of the guys that I play with is like really into Egyptian like mythology. He loves that stuff. So he's like super excited too. I can't wait to play it. Dude's on a map. You're bashing each other. I can't wait. Super excited. So we should be getting that very, very soon. There is the Equinox Yellow edition, although the person on the cover is green. I don't know if it's supposed to be green, but I don't know. The thing that I read, it said yellow, but it may be green. I'm not sure. But it's another version of Equinox. We talked a little bit last week. There's a new game coming out called Lupos. It's from Queen Games. It's like a kid's game. It's got the wolf on the front. Really cool artwork on the board. So if you're looking for a new kid style game, check that out. Another one we're going to spend a little time talking about, two of them, Dinosaur World and Dinosaur Island Rar and Right, which I love puns.
I appreciate that pun and play on words.
Yes. So Dinosaur World is the follow up to Dinosaur Island.
Yes.
This one comes with Chris Pratt. No, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't you like that? Speaking of.
Man, we got Chris Pratt. We got
Ryan Reynolds. We're just all over.
It's a good day.
But I think, did you like Jurassic World and Jurassic Park? Like the movies? Did you like those movies?
Do I need to admit this right now that I have it? The only one I've ever seen is the original.
You didn't see the new one with Chris Pratt? It was good.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm saying,
I haven't.
Do you like the dinosaur movies?
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, of course they're good.
Yeah. So I think it's such a good theme. It's like, first of all, I think of like theme parks. So theme parks are like a great theme for board games because everyone enjoys amusement parks. It's such a great
build
thing.
A fun.
Right. And this one, you're making dinosaurs. And then it talks about in like the press release, the description from the publisher is like, you'll acquire victory points through a variety of means and possibly a few visitor deaths as a natural consequence of overly enthusiastic dinosaur encounters. Like,
I like how it's like has the DNA sequence. Like, you know, you have to do that. And they're pretty crunchy.
Yeah, the Dinosaur Island is definitely, it's a table hog. It takes up a lot of space, but it's a great game. It's really fun. So I'm looking forward to that one. So we should have that hopefully next week. And then Dinosaur Island Roarin' Right, which it's Alyssa's jam. So it's got dinosaurs. It's a rolling right. I hope it's going to be excellent. We've got Dune House Secrets that will be showing up next week.
That's appropriate timing.
Of course, I got to time it with that movie that comes out on October 22nd. I'm so excited. This is based off of the Detective series of games that came out from Portal. So I'm looking forward to how they implement that with like the House Atreides and all the cool stuff from the Dune universe. And then finally coming new, arriving soon, is the Legendary Ranger Tommy Oliver pack for Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid.
Wooty woot.
Oh man. I watched so much Power Rangers as a kid. Well, I shouldn't even say as a kid. I'd watch it now.
It's like go, go Power Rangers.
Oh, and like, it's just so cool. I think it's in like Logan, like we talked about earlier to Logan, and they made a Power Rangers movie not that long ago. It's just it's so cool that stuff keeps going.
Well, it's like Pokemon.
I know,
it's
awesome. It's so cool though, because it's like they get to experience it. You love something that I loved when I was a kid, you know? Like, because I think of like stuff my dad would show me when he was a kid. Oh, I like this. And I'm like, lame.
Aw,
you know what I mean. Here's Schoolhouse Rock. Okay. So that's all the cool new stuff that's arriving soon. So definitely check out the website. Again, it's Tabletop Merchant and tabletopmerchant.com. Sorry. See, now I'm messing up.
Lots of good stuff. Lots of good games. Games for days.
Yes, yes, yes. So we will have more. So next segment. You weren't so successful last week with this segment, but...
Well, you know what?
This is the Stump David segment, but you can, of course, play along, faithful listener.
I didn't think about it. What's our bet?
So the bet. So last week I did not have to add any Halloween stuff. That was the bet. You were going to add something, but it's weird how a spider still showed up that scared me as a Halloween decoration. But we'll make this.
That
doesn't
bet. Go. That wasn't outside.
If I can get this in three guesses or less, then you will get me a. Let's go with a breakfast sandwich tomorrow morning. How's that sound? It's a nice, friendly bet. Cool. Go pick up a breakfast
I'll
sandwich.
I'll make you one.
No.
I got bagels. I got some turkey. I got some cheese and I got some eggs. You want some hash browns?
Yeah. Okay. Then you got to make me a breakfast sandwich. Sounds great. Okay. All right. Let's go. So in this game is based off of the fact that Alyssa, she even did this today. She goes, oh, when we were wrapping the games to be shipped out, there was like this game that I really liked the artwork. And I was like, okay, what did it look like? She's like, I can't remember. I'm like, but you know you liked it.
Like, it's the same size box as this. Like, and it's about.
So Alyssa does this all the time where she wants to play a game. And
but you got it.
I did actually end up getting it, which is why I like this game.
I'm good at describing.
Yes, let's go with that. But go ahead. So you're going to give me clues and about a game, and I'm going to try to guess what it is. So what is the first clue?
It came out in 2007.
Yeah, there was quite a few. I see what's happening now. You're giving me much harder clues. I got it in one clue last week. Okay, 2007. I don't have a guess. There's too many. Continue. That was a long time ago, too. Okay. It's an older game, so that's good to know. Yes. 2007 is technically, like I said, a millennia in board game years.
Do you want the designers?
Oh, designers. Ooh, that's a clue. Is it...
Andrea... Chiarvesio,
okay,
and Luca Linico
does not ring a bell. 2007.
I'm being very.
Yeah, you're making this much harder. Okay, I know I don't have a guess. I have no idea who that is. I'm sure I probably do once you say the name of the game. Give me the third guess. This is my last one before I don't get a breakfast sandwich.
The third guess
or third clue. Sorry.
Takes place over 5 years, total of 20 turns.
5 years.
You might get it with this.
5 years, 20 turns. 5 years. The game takes place over 5 years. That is a 20 turns. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Please tell me you have more clues.
Develop territory. It has dice rolling.
Ooh. Okay. Dice rolling 2007. 5 years. Oh, people are probably listening, screaming it now.
Every year there's three production seasons. I feel like that if you don't get it by now, the next clue you're for sure going to get it.
I have three production seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons, years. It's not obviously the first place I go is viticulture, but that's not right because that's Jamie Stegmaier.
I would never do viticulture.
I know, but I'm trying to think. Oh, man, you have...
I think this one, with this clue, you're going to get it.
All right. What's your last clue?
Influence dice on members of council. That's where you put your...
Oh!
See? That's why...
I know what this is. Got it. Okay. It's Kingsburg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You know what's interesting? They're actually coming out with a Kingsburg, like, revised edition, I think. I just saw the pre-order availability for us to pick it up, which includes the... expansion, and I think it includes another module, a never played module. So Kingsburg, yeah. Dice work
replacement. I quote, when I was doing this, babe, I know all the games. If it's at least like in the top 400 of BGG, I'm going to get it. You said that, sir.
I did.
Is BGG rank, Board Game Geek, if anyone doesn't know what that is. 383.
Yeah, so just within the top 400. Man, mm-hmm. I can't believe
but
I didn't
get it.
I
guess you technically did get it.
Well, I did eventually, but you had to get more clues about the game. But 5 years, 20. Yeah, that's true. It is five rounds that are played over years.
I figured if I gave you the dice on members of council, you'd get it like that.
Yeah, that was too. That was the giveaway.
Good job.
Excellent game, by the way. We need to play some Kingsburg.
I love that game.
Oh, such a good. If you like worker placement games and you use dice as your workers.
Yeah, dice workers. Oh,
so good. So
and then
good.
You have like that going on, but then you have another board going on with the territory. There's a little. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
And
game.
I know when it's going to end.
You can pick it up. You can pick up the second edition on Tabletop Merchant right now.
I like that game.
Excellent game. All right. So you did stump me. I'm not getting a breakfast sandwich, but I am very excited to talk about our next segment, which is
Board Game Superstars.
Superstars.
Right? Is that what we're doing? Okay, good.
Yes. Last week we talked about Marcus and Inca brand, who are a couple of designers, a married couple.
We thought we'd roll it over and do another married couple who does the artwork for board games.
And they are called?
Mr. Cuddington Studio.
Or Mr. Cuddington is their pseudonym for for those two. It is made up of Lena Cosette and David Forrest, and also known as Mr. Cuddington. I hinted earlier with Tidal Blades, Heroes of the Reef. They did the artwork. So
yes.
The first thing I want to preface is I have no artistic ability.
I don't think that's true.
I cannot draw. I am not an art student. So the opinions I give here are like from the layman. Like I do not know anything other than like that looks gorgeous. That looks amazing. But we do want to highlight these amazing artists in this segment.
I do feel like artwork, I don't know if it let me make or break a game. I know though artwork is off-putting to some people if it's not visually appeasing.
Right. It can.
So it's a huge job on them.
And here's what's interesting. These two folks, they are a married couple. Like as we said, they have an art studio called Mr. Cuddington. That's the pseudonym that they go by.
You know how they got that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So they were watching the end credits roll for My Name is Earl.
the sitcom from the 2000s.
One of the producers was Hunter Covington. He went to get that, but that domain was taken. Hence,
Mr. Cuddington.
The birth of Mr. Cuddington.
Yes, and
it's always the domain game.
I know, the internet.
They get you. It's gone. You got to go to backup choice.
And if you see their logo is a silhouette figure of a person in a trench coat with a fedora, but there's a set of eyes below the fedora, and then there's another set of eyes at like the waistline. So I think of like the Little Rascals, the two kids that are one standing on the other's shoulders, and they're acting like they're an adult. And they've talked about that's kind of the idea, is that they're two kids, you know, in this world of board games or in the art industry.
And I love it.
It's so cool.
I know he kind of touches on how he's like, oh, I don't know about, you know, the mister now. I wish because takes away from it. She's like, you know what? We're a team. It's about the artwork. It's not, I don't take it that way at all.
Yes. And we'll get to, I want to spend some time obviously talking about the games that they've done.
Which is a lot.
They have done quite a bit.
They're busy.
They have a really cool story. I think what I like about doing these segments is in a lot of ways you can see the progression of success on these board game superstars. And it's so exciting to see. I mean, obviously it's after the fact.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Right. But to see like that slow moving ball of success. And then it's just like, I was genuinely like, oh my gosh.
They catch on like a tidal wave.
Oh, I see what you did there. Tidal Blades. Okay. So they are a married couple. They work from their home, their art studio at home.
It's in their attic. They've converted. It's so cool.
Right. They try to keep their work separated. But
it never happens.
Of course. I know the feeling. They're out of Canada, out of Quebec.
I think they're in Montreal now.
No, I think they lived in Montreal. And by the way, I look because they're French Canadian and the T and Montreal. I think I took French one semester in college and I was like, no, can't do it. I'm gonna go back to Spanish or something. But I believe when you say it in French, the T is silent, so it's Montreal.
Oh my gosh, David.
I know I'm terrible. But they
It's cute. They met after they went to the same design school.
Yeah, I had it because I want to get
But they didn't know each other. I don't think they formally knew each other there. So they met right when they, after they graduated, right after somewhat.
Yeah, I got to get the college because I wrote all this French stuff down.
Oh my gosh. Cégep
de Vieux Montréal. See, that's pretty good, right? No, it probably wasn't. I did want to say when you say, you know, it's Mr. Cuddington, but in French it's Monsieur Cuddington. Doesn't that sound cooler?
Are you having fun right
I'm
now?
I'm having so much fun with the French stuff. Anyways.
Oh my goodness.
So yes, they both attended the same art school. And
I'm not going to attempt that name. So I'm going to say
at the Montreal
College art school.
Art school in Montreal. Our understanding is the background for Lena was she did 2D animation and he was more focused on the 3D animation. So I love that story that they met each other in college and now they're working together and they got married and they started a company.
They were working you have their day job at the studios, and they just wanted to come home and be able to work on something together.
And they were huge board game fans.
Huge board game fans. Which is awesome. Of course. I mean,
that's not always the case. There's a lot of artists that don't even like, they do the art for it, but they're not like board gamers. And they talk about why sometimes I like their perspective that they take, is that art can influence the actual gameplay. If it's really, really good art and it makes sense from a graphic design standpoint, mm-hmm. it actually can enhance the gameplay. And so having artists that want to play your prototype or play your kind of alpha build, and so that they can kind of move the art in a particular direction that makes more sense for the gameplay. That's awesome. That's such a cool thing that they do.
They had originally, so when they were starting to think about what they wanted to do, they were like, we're going to design a game and do the artwork for it. But they're like, that was ridiculously hard.
Right. Trying to make a game is not easy.
Instead, they made a portfolio of fake art for games, what it would be like if they were to do art, and they brought that to publishers to show them, this is what we can do.
Right.
So, I mean, they just wanted a fresh take. They wanted something that would give them inspiration, new style.
Right. And it looks like when they left college, they, like you said, they both had day jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like from what I was able to find out, Lena did more, still did 2D animation in the video game space. Mm-hmm. Specifically, it looks like there was a couple different companies that did, and I wrote down, I'm going to pull it up here real quick, but she worked for a couple companies out of Montreal. I'm going to try to continue with my French stuff here. But there was a couple games studios that she worked for. One was they did various console and mobile games, and they also did casino games, which I found out that you can, we're in Vegas. So I was like, there's casinos in Montreal. I was like, that's so cool. And apparently there's a bunch of casinos in Canada, which is cool. And I didn't even think about that. When we walk by like the slot machines, like all the artwork on those are incredible, and they're designed to like bring you in. They're very like beautiful and enticing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, of course that makes sense.
Someone did that.
Right. So, worked for a company that, and I was looking up some of the mobile games and some of the other games that they did. There's one called Saber's Edge, and it's like a puzzle RPG. And the artwork in it, it was like a studio of like 160 plus people. So it's hard to be like, oh, I can tell that that's, you know, it's Mr. Cuddington style of artwork. But it does feel that same.
I feel like when I look through all the list of their board games, I see a style.
You can kind of pick it out. I would say that there is obviously some measure of range when you look at the list of board games.
Oh, for sure there is.
But yeah, there's definitely like motifs or themes that you see in their artwork.
Like they do, neither of them, they both work on everything in a game. There's never a piece that only one works on.
Which is so cool.
Which is because she goes, you know, fresh take. So I work on it for whatever. I give it to David. He sees something that I didn't do. Fresh take of eyes. And then like, but her strength is characters. She loves developing characters.
So cool.
And he loves backgrounds.
Yes. And they've talked about
the perfect marriage.
Of course. It's awesome. And she's said in some interviews that she'll work on a piece and then give it to David, mm-hmm. and he'll go so much detail into it. And, mm-hmm. The good thing is they talk about that they don't have, neither of them really have an ego. So no. Meaning like if I'm, you know, pour my heart into something and you're like, well, let me take a look at it and kind of, you know, this works, this doesn't work. They know that it'll always come out in a better than it was.
Yes.
So that's great. That's good for everybody, not just the consumer on our end when we get to see this beautiful artwork, but it's great that they work so well together.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but their big break, I guess, the game that came out was Steampunk Rally.
Yes.
Was like their first big one where they were like, we can do this. We can do this full time. This can be our career.
Yeah. And before, so I wanted to touch on, because we talked a little bit about Lena's background. So David's background, mm-hmm. was he was doing film animation. And so he actually made a short film called, I got more French here, Le Golf, which is the golf. I encourage everybody to go check out. You watched it.
It was really cool.
I want a board game out of this, and right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought is like, oh, go, let's make gorgeous. The golf the board game. Like, it's just, I encourage everybody to check it out. They did a Kickstarter for it, and then they ended up for the short film. Did you know Kickstarter? Okay. You looked at me strange like, what, a Kickstarter for a movie? No, they do that all the time.
I just look at you strange all the time.
Fair enough. So check that out. You can see it on there. The studio that it's called Lightning Boy Studio, and they had a short film. And they're actually working on, it looks like they want it to be, I think, a television series. Mm-hmm. It's called Dinomancers. This needs to be a board game, too.
I'm like, there's not enough hours in the day. I don't think
they stopped drawing.
And they have two littles, so I'm like.
Yeah, it's impressive. Very, very impressive.
I tip my hat to you guys. But, like, I always think about, I know I said Steampunk Growly. That was nominated for the Golden Geek. But think about this. It's not just. Think of the hours and hours and hours and months and whatever, maybe a year, that go into the artwork. Like, it's the box art. It's a card. Like, that game alone had at least 190 cards.
Right.
And that's different art for each card. And then you had the tiles. And then you have the rule book. That is a lot.
And it's not like the first time they get it, they give it to the publisher or the designer, and they're like, perfect. I'm sure that does happen, but I'm sure that there's like, actually, you know, I want this or I want that, or can you make this look a little bit less this or a little bit less that? But you're right. That got kickstarted. That was, mm-hmm. they got, it, this is where I was loving this. So you can actually, on BGG, you can see back in like 2013, early 2014, David post on BGG, me and my girlfriend at the time, Lena was his girlfriend. We have our own day jobs, but we would be interested in doing art for board games. Here's some samples. And then later on, he posts an edit on that. You know, we've decided to open up. We've decided to basically quit our day jobs and just focus primarily on this. This was in 2014. He's saying now we're able to handle bigger projects and deliver much quicker than we did before. Mm-hmm. And if you have a project for us and you need an artist to work on it, now would be the perfect time to do so. And that's what I'm talking about. You see this like slowly build of like, you know, we really enjoy board games. We think we do a great job as artists. But we need that opportunity. And
well,
then
they needed the security too.
Sure, of course.
To know, like, okay, we can do, can do this.
Right. And they got in touch with Gavin, I think it's Gavin Brown.
Gavin Brown, yes, sir.
Over at Roxley Games. Mm-hmm. And that's how they got into Steampunk Rally, which got kickstarted, got over $200,000.
And he gave them the confidence, like, you know,
so cool.
He believed in them. And it's like, another thing you talk about Kickstarter, you have to think like, a project could go on for, they might do it, but then once they're on the Kickstarter, they'll come back like, well, we need art for this. We've met this goal. Like, they have so many projects going at once.
Of course. And trust me, we're still waiting for Kickstarters that are like 2 or 3 years from when we back them. So it can take quite a bit of time to actually have that come to fruition where everything's done and it's delivered to the backers. So that gave them, I think, a lot of confidence to continue to move forward. And they've worked with Roxley. One interesting thing before they did, I want to touch on this because I think this is really cool. So before Steampunk Rally, one of the games that they're noted on BGG, specifically Lena working with, is a game called Woodlands. And this was really cool because the designer of that game is
Shem
Phillips,
mm-hmm.
who is the designer of Raiders of the North Sea and the co-designer on the West Kingdom trilogy. And this is before either one of them, you know, now are true board game superstars. But I think of, you know, when you look at like Toy Story and you look at like all the like assistant producers and the people that are working on it, it's like they're all like mega producers and mega directors now. But they were at the time, they were all just these people trying to break into the industry and get to their vision where they could be the person in the chair.
Well,
and
like,
so you have this moment in time when you have this new designer and this new artist in the board game universe working together, and they don't, you know, now they're both, it's just so, so amazing. It's so cool, like I said, to see that snowball of slowly moving towards such success. It's really exciting.
I mean, they are to a point where like they have built their relationships, and you do see they work with the same people. The designers, not always, but they've, you know, they have their relationships. They know what works. They know what they like. They know how their art comes out. So she said, you know, we are pretty full. So it's hard to take on more because all those designers just keep giving them more their next project.
Of course, I had a Kickstarter and we funded and we made a bunch of money. And a lot of Kickstarters, you have to think of it this way. Kickstarters, you don't get to play the game. So you're backing it based off what's on the webpage, which a lot of it is photos, pictures, drawings. So they'll, you know, the designers will talk about the gameplay and what the anticipated idea of the game is. And they may have like a alpha build or something, but a lot of it is based off your eyeballs, what you're seeing, whether it's the sculptures or, of course, the artwork. And so, yeah, they had a huge break with Steampunk Rally. They moved, they continued to work with Roxley Games. The next one was Super Motherload. Excellent artwork on that one, too. Yes. And then we've got some other games it's that they did. The Lounge, a Mafia game, 12 Days of Christmas.
Tavura?
Tavura, I think is
Can
how you
say
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. That was when they started working with Cody Miller over at Far Off Games. And they just recently, they just finished a huge Kickstarter with him for, I'm going to say it wrong. It's our the last one there. Aridia?
Aridia is what I would say. Which...
Yeah. It's funded like crazy. And their artwork in that looks amazing. So yeah. That's probably their newest project that they've talked about. But I think one of the ones that we were first introduced to that we played of their artwork, games that had their artwork was Santorini. Yeah. And that box cover is so like when I see their artwork,
It makes me smile.
Yeah, it's whimsical. That's the only word I can think of. It makes me like you said, just smile. It's just fun. Like it just screams, play me. Like this is going to be a great time.
I mean, they have a few dark games. I mean, yeah, thematically, which is touching on because when they came off Santorini, they were announced that they were going to do the Brass
Birmingham.
And they had a lot of critics.
Of course.
That were like, no, it's going to be too childish. They're not going to pull it off.
Well, Brass is the original Brass, which is the one you played. I mean, the artwork was okay, but it's an economic game about coal and you know, it's a dry Euro. It's an excellent game. Mm-hmm. But of course, when you see the cover of Santorini and you're like, we're getting, it's like if you were like, we're going to get Quentin Tarantino to do a family movie. It's like, what? No.
Hold on a minute.
There's going to be like violence and blood in it.
But
obviously
it shows
the inverse range here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they make Brass Birmingham. They show, and again, this is Roxley again. So they're, like you said, they're working with a lot of the same design studios or publishers. And the artwork in Brass Birmingham and Brass Lancashire is, I think it's one of the few times where I was like, that can't be the same artist. That can't be. That. I mean, it's striking. They're both gorgeous, obviously, but it is very, very, it's a good range. Like I wouldn't say that those are the same artist.
I think they just have to find inspiration in different areas.
Of course.
For what they're looking for.
And after that, I think they keep nailing it with all their games out of the park on the artwork. We have The Great Dinosaur Rush, Unfair is another one, which is cool. It's got that whimsical. It's like a theme park. You know, we talked about amusement park themes and games. Then you've got a big, huge, mega hit, Charterstone.
Yes.
Again, wonderful, whimsical artwork.
Legacy, right?
Yep. Legacy game from Stonemaier Games. Then the one that the cover of this one is just so good. Grim Forest.
It's a great cover. That was nominated as well
for
Golden Geek.
Yep. And that's when they started working with Druid City Games and Skybound. And you can see here, they continue to work with them on, they did a Grim Masquerade, Guardian's Call. And then you have the aforementioned one that we talked about earlier, Tidal Blades.
Mm-hmm.
So what was cool about this is that
they love this one.
They started doing some world building.
That's like what they wanted. When they came to the Eisner?
Eisner?
Tim and Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, Eisner, yeah.
They're like...
The designers.
World building. They're like...
Please.
They're like, yes. That was like their dream.
Well, you got to think as an artist,
like
it's somebody's pet project. It's their baby, right? Mm-hmm. I've been making this with little pieces of cardboard and paper in my basement for the last, you know, 6 months to 2 years, right? Yeah, I assume that's how long it, play testing it and getting things. But now I need you to take my baby and make it beautiful, right? And to say, you know, we have this, but we want you to go wherever you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. It's got to be so invigorating as an artist to just be and so they take that and they make Tidal Blades, which it may have some, you know, I think they've talked about a lot of their inspiration is like the Dragon Ball Z, the
Legends of Zelda.
Yeah, it's just so...
Is it Yasakiya?
Yeah, the yep. So I think it's just exciting to play a game like we talked about, Dungeon Crawl, where it's not dark, it's bright, lots of use of color, and they still keep that whimsical feeling.
The whimsical, I think, comes from, because she said Disney and Lion King. That has to be where the whimsical color comes from.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, those are classics for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so exciting when you watch, because again, I'm not an artist. I don't even pretend to be. But to see what inspires people and then how they take that inspiration and kind of evolve that into their own art is awesome. So there's somebody out there that's going to play these games and get inspired by it. You know, a younger kid play it, and then they're going to make art that's inspired by that, you know? And so that's just, that stuff is just so exciting. So we've got Tidal Blades. They continue to work with Skybound on Sorcerer City. And then they did a standalone expansion. It's the kind of the second, it's called Santorini, New York. Then they made Steampunk Rally Fusion, again, with now coming back to Roxley Games.
And you got Funfair.
Funfair, which is a secondary or an additional.
You see these relationships.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, if anything, it shows that people are, the publishers and the fans are very happy with the artwork. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about Iridia a little bit, which is, again, another relationship that they had with Far Off Games. So, these guys are crushing it.
They are crushing it in the artwork.
And it's only two of them. It's only two of them. Like I said earlier, you know, Lena had worked, and I'm sure David did too. You know, you have these art studios that have hundreds of artists working all together where you have somebody working on, I always think of like, who does the hair on, a 3D animation. Oh, what do you
who
do?
Who did like the street light?
Yeah, like I do street lights, but I'm sure that's actually what happens. You know, people have a very particular, but they do everything. They do the backgrounds. They do the character design. They do the artwork. Yeah. I mean, that's, it's incredibly impressive that this type of work comes out of two people. Just insane.
She's like, we're so busy, but it's hard to turn down someone who comes to us with a passion project because they're so passionate.
Right.
So it's like,
it's gotta be hard. But I'm, you know, I think it's really, like I said, it's super exciting to now see, because these guys are, I mean, if you have a board game and you can get them to do the art, like your board game is going to probably be pretty good. And I just love it. I love watching that progression of success happen from, you know, that it almost feels like a board game, right? You start with something small and you're working, you know, because his original post on BGG is like, we want to do this on the weekends. Like, we both have full-time jobs, but we just really are passionate and we...
David, you don't even know.
Yeah. He said, what is it on here?
It's like 8 years.
He said, this is in 2013. We're both working full-time jobs in the animation industry, but we'd be happy to dedicate our evenings and weekends on this. So like, so many of these board game superstars, I mean, they're literally doing it as a quote unquote hobby. I mean, we call it hobby gaming. This is their hobby, and they be so good at this and to turn it into a full-time gig is just so awesome. And I think they're going to be incredibly successful moving forward. They've got, like I said, that whimsical style, but they can do the Brass Birmingham stuff.
They're not going anywhere.
There's a couple things I want. I want a golf, the board game, and I want Dinomancers, the board game. I watched both of those from what David was working on, the short film, and also what he's working on.
You're
with
funny.
Lightning Boy. We got to get that done, man. We got to get a game designer to do those, because those look fantastic. So.
That's a good segue.
What do you got?
Can I announce?
Go for it. What do you want to talk about?
We're going to do another contest.
Ah, now I see what you're on to.
We had so much fun with last week's, and I think we just continue it because
why not?
Why not?
So the contest is going to be, you send us an email, right, Alyssa?
Yes.
And what does the subject line need to be in the email?
Mr. Cuddington?
We'll just make it Cuddington.
Okay, Cuddington. Well, you know what? If you put Mr. Cuddington.
It'll show up. So if they send us an email, what do you want them to say in the email?
Their favorite art, any of the games we spoke of that they worked on as artists.
So Mr. Cuddington games that they've had a chance to play that they really enjoy, or if you haven't played any of them, which one, you know, you can look at the artwork on BGG and say like, oh my gosh, I want that one.
Or like your favorite box art. Like for me, probably if I go down all their games, my favorite box art is between Woodlands and Grim Forest.
Oh, mine's Tidal Blades. I think it's because I played Final Fantasy X a lot and it has that beach setting. But Tidal Blades is just so good. I like Brass Birmingham a lot. The water effects and on that are just really, really cool. But it's just, I think the Tidal Blades is like, if I saw that on a shelf at a store, I'd be like, let me play that. That looks cool. I don't even care what the game's about. Let's do that. It's got this huge, beautiful ocean. So very, very
cool. Hook, line, sinker.
So yeah, so send us an email. The email address is?
tabletopmerchant@gmail.com,
and the subject needs to say Mr. Cuddington or Cuddington or Monsieur Cuddington.
Okay.
If you want to get real fancy,
calm down.
We will pick one just like we did this week.
Yeah, so it'll be a $25 gift card
to, not Starbucks, Tabletop Merchant. You have a chance to win a $25 gift card.
One of these days it's gonna be Starbucks.
We'll do that eventually.
Oh, good times.
So yes, another board game superstar in the books. I'm excited. We're gonna do.
We have things cooking in the kitchen. Is that an appropriate way to say?
We got irons in the fire.
Irons in the fire.
Yeah, we're gonna do. We're hoping.
I always get those things mixed up.
What do you say? A bowl in a china cabinet. It's a china shop. But
ace
I've heard
in
cabinet.
A hole or.
Yeah, you say I have a spade in the hole. You always say it wrong.
I get my words jumbled.
But you try. That's the most important, and I know what you're saying. So another board game superstar in the books.
Okay.
And we've got the contest. And then we wanted to finish our podcast.
Are we doing a week again for the contest?
Yeah, we'll announce it. Well, let's see. You want to do it in 2 weeks?
Two weeks?
No, let's just do it next week. We'll try to do this every week. We're just giving away money, right?
Every week. Hey, I am the one that's like.
I know. I have to stop her.
She's like, you get a game.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. We'll announce the winner as part of our next podcast. So yeah, like I said, just send us an email. But before we close the podcast, we did want to do a listener/customer email that's sent to us.
Oh, question. Yes. And we love questions.
Yes, we do. And you can send a question too. Let's keep going with the email address.
tabletopmerchant@gmail.com.
Yes.
You're going to get so tired of that.
I love it. You got to say it three times. That's what they say in the radio.
When you meet someone, you're supposed to
say their name three times.
Three times. Alyssa. Shake their hand. Yes.
And find out a characteristic about them. So this week, we've gotten this question a couple times. I think we've had three or four emails. And the question is, one, how do you choose which games to stock at Tabletop Merchant? And two, how do you determine your daily deal? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know about us, we do a daily deal on a board game every day at about 10 p.m.
10 p.m.?
10 a.m.
Good heavens.
10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Okay. Unless one of us doesn't do it on time and maybe it's 10:30 or 11 or 11:30.
It's
in that ballpark. Come on, people. We're packing games. We're trying to do other things. But So I want you to answer the question. So go. How do we pick the daily deal? How does that process work out? I want to say it's like a very intricate series of pulleys and levers, but what actually
is it really not.
It's really not.
Like if I'm going to pull back the curtain for you.
Yeah, let's pull back the veil.
I think we try not to do repeats as much as possible. We want to make sure we have a good amount of stock on it.
Yes. So we try to pick games that we don't have like one or two of.
Yeah, I mean,
we try to pick one where if, you know, a group of customers could pick it up as part of their order.
We are growing, but we are a small business. So, you know, we don't always have 50 copies.
Right. We don't have 50 copies of every game, but we try to pick ones where
we're working on it.
We're working. And we try to pick stuff that's popular that would be enticing. I'll be honest, I do the thing at the same time every day and check before we had a board game store. I would check to make sure that what's the daily deal at this place? What's the daily deal at this place? And a lot of the times it was just kind of, I think it was, I may get in trouble here, but I think it's stuff they want to get rid of. But we try not to do that. We try to pick games that are popular that we think are good games for you to
check out. For your collection.
Yeah. And I think that's partly how we pick the games that we stock. There's a lot of
board games. There's so many games.
Gosh. And we try to curate it not based off what we like, because clearly there's a ton of games that we know a lot of games that we certainly don't know all of them. And we've gotten a lot of customers that have sent us emails. Hey, can you get this game? Hey, can you get that game?
Yeah, we love that. If you have a suggestion or if you're like, what about this?
Please, please let us know, because the breadth of board games is like a river that we cannot swim upstream in. So if there's something that you don't see on our website, we will respond and let you know if we can get it. And if we can, we will. But at the same time, we try to curate some of the games that, you know, that we don't think may not fit the clientele or the customers that we have. But, you know, at the same time, if there's something that you don't see that you really want us to carry, you know, who are we to say that it's not one that we should? It's just that we don't know everything, or we haven't had customers ask. So hopefully that answers the question in a very convoluted way.
It's an equation, and we do this.
Yeah, it's an algorithm where we plug in a little bit of this, and it's a potion, a cauldron that we go with the Halloween theme here. So excellent question. Thank you for sending a question. If you do have any other questions for us, you can ask us pretty much anything. We're pretty open. We'll pull back the veil here. We're not trying to be hiding. Oh, Liz has got this look like, what are they going to ask? Be careful what you wish for. Send us an email. It's at tabletopmerchant.com. And
look, no, it is not.
Oh, see, I messed up. tabletopmerchant@gmail.com. We're never going to get
that. And look, I'm listening.
I know. You're actually paying attention to what I'm saying. So let's, I got to make a pun up here. Let's, Cuddington out of this. Cut it out. No,
we got it.
Okay, just make it sure. Until next time.
Bye.
All right, so you got a new joke for us this week?
Why did the duck fall in love with the dog? Because he was purebred.
You got any more? You got another one?
What is a ghost's favorite dessert? Ice cream.